Morning. Everyone finished playing musical chairs? If you have your Bibles, invite you to turn to the book of Haggai. The book of Haggai. If you don't know where that is, it's the third from the last book in the Old Testament. Three books behind or in front of Matthew. As was already mentioned, I'm down here on vacation. I'm not sure I'd call it vacation, but it's a break from the routine, so I guess that's a vacation. But I have to prepare for a class this fall on the post-exilic prophets. That's Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. And I had planned on teaching it through the whole semester, which means, you know, each week I can stay one step ahead of the student. And then I got a call from the dean saying, oh, we had a scheduling conflict. Could you teach all three of them in one week in September? And we don't know which week it is. And I'm sitting here, right, okay. And so I already had Haggai down and Malachi down. The problem was Zechariah. If anybody sat and read through Zechariah, 14 chapters of all kinds of meaty stuff, and I had never really studied the book of Zechariah, so I said, well, here's a great opportunity. Several months ago, so most of you know Henry Sanchez, I'm sure, I had the great misfortune of sitting in front of him or opposite him at the Kenilworth Missionary Prayer Meeting. He says, Gordon, what are you doing this summer? Don't answer that question if Henry asks you. He says, how'd you like to come up to Pinebush for a week and be a counselor? And I said, Henry, I'm sorry, I got studying I got to do. He says, why don't you come up and give devotion for the staff? You don't have to be a counselor, just give devotion for the staff. You have the whole day free to study. I said, now that sounds more down my alley. And so last week or this past week, I was up at Pinebush for the week, had a great time. It was quite interesting to see how the Lord was working up there. Five or six children came to know the Lord, so that was a blessing there. And so this week, in the hermitage of the Rodriguez house, sitting and studying the book of Zechariah, and hopefully getting into some detail. But the contemporary with Zechariah is Haggai. And it's interesting, Haggai and Zechariah are preaching at the same time. I know chronology may bore some of you, but these time indicators that appear in both the book of Haggai and the book of Zechariah, indicating that they're preaching at the same time. And they're there, the book of Ezra records, to encourage the people to build a temple. You see, the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, came in 587 B.C. and basically destroyed Jerusalem, or what was left of it, including the temple that Solomon had built. And for 70 years it laid waste, and after the 70 years that Jeremiah had promised that they would be in captivity, they returned under the rule of Zerubbabel. And Zerubbabel, the first thing he did in the book of Ezra was to build the altar. And that was a good start. But because of the situation around them, they became discouraged. But then not only the situation around them, but the situation within, they said, you know, I had to build my own house first. We'll let somebody else do the Lord's house, but I'll build my house first. And, well, I want this nice cedar paneling in it and so forth. And so Haggai and Zechariah are going to encourage them to build the house of the Lord first. Haggai is primarily focused on building the house, and Zechariah is primarily focused on the holiness and righteousness of the people to call them back to the Lord. And I think the two go hand in hand, coming back to the Lord and following his prescribed order of worship, which is what Haggai is emphasizing. They have to worship in the right place. Rather than shrines round about Jerusalem, there was a temple, a house, where God used to dwell. As we go through Haggai, we'll notice the people cried, because those who had seen the former house and the former glory realized that the temple that the Zerubbabel built didn't compare, and they became discouraged. But Haggai chapter 1, the question that Haggai is going to pose to the people are, what are your priorities? And that's the same question that needs to be posed to us today. What is our priorities when it comes to spiritual things? It's interesting, if we look at the life of Haggai, then we know very little about him. A true servant of the Lord, because he doesn't call attention to himself, he calls attention to the Lord. And one looks at the Gospel of John. John, whom the Lord calls the beloved disciple, all through his gospel never says, it's me, because he wants to draw his attention to the Lord. James, in his epistle, when he writes, he says very little about himself in that book, except to say that he was a teacher of the Word of God. And one can go on and on through the various books and realize people want to talk about the Lord and not themselves. And very little is known about Haggai. His name means festive or festival. And why that is, we don't know. He might have been born on one of the festival holidays, and his parents named him in honor of the festival. Who knows? But his whole purpose is to exalt himself. Or excuse me, exalt the Lord and not himself. And later on, John the Baptizer says of himself and the Lord Jesus, he must increase, but I must decrease. And it's interesting, as you go through John's gospel, in chapter 1, you have a big chunk of verses that talk about John's ministry, John the Baptist's ministry. Then chapter 3, you have it again, but fewer verses, and so on through the book, they get less and less. And that principle goes through John's gospel, that John the Baptist decreases through the book. As we go through the book of Haggai, the phrase, thus saith the Lord, appears over and over. Haggai didn't get up and say, you know, it's my opinion that we ought to do this. You know, maybe be a good thing to build this house or so. And maybe it's a good thing. You might want to, you know, consider cutting this sin out in your life and become more holy. He doesn't do that. He says, thus saith the Lord. He doesn't go around giving his opinion. Doesn't go around giving book reviews of the latest book. He says, this is what the Word of God says. And I've always appreciated preachers who get up and say, this is the way it is, rather than what I call rabbinical preaching. You know, Rabbi so-and-so says this, and Rabbi so-and-so says, then you make up your own mind. And that's why the people were awestruck by the teaching of the Lord Jesus. He spoke as one with authority. And we proclaim the truth of the Word of God. We can speak with authority because it's God's Word. So he proclaimed the Lord's message and not his own. But it's interesting, he also practiced what he preached. His life lined up with his lips. And all through this book, he's going to encourage them to build the house of the Lord. And not only does he encourage them to do it, he's involved in the work itself. Go back to the book of Ezra. King Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Ezra chapter 5. Ezra chapter 5 and verse 1. And then the prophet Haggai and Zechariah, the son of Iddo, prophets, prophesied to the Jews who were in Judea, or Judah and Jerusalem, in the name of the God of Israel, who was over them. Verse 2, so Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Yeshua, the son of Jozadak rose up and began to build the house of God, which is in Jerusalem. And the prophets of God were with them. Note the phrase, helping them. So not only did they encourage them to do the work, they were involved in the work itself. If we look through his book, we see that he had a balanced ministry as well. Not only did he rebuke them, he also exhorted them. And again, it's not a negative preaching, but it's a balanced preaching. He says, look, you're doing this, 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 and this wrong. But then he also is encouraging them. This is what you're doing right. And so he had a balanced ministry when he preached. And if one looks at the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible, Haggai also had a poetic ministry. Because according to the superscriptions of Psalm 146 to 149, both Haggai and Zechariah composed those songs. Now, whether that's the case or not, I don't know, but according to the Septuagint, that seems to be the case. Let's take a look at Haggai chapter 1. And the issue that Haggai is going to raise is, what is your priority? And the question that we need to ask ourselves is, what is our priority in life as well? In verses 1 to 15, he deals with the sin of putting off the Lord's work. Verse 1. In the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. And then the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you yourself to dwell in your paneled houses, and this temple to lie in ruin? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourself, but no one is warm. And he who earned wages to put into a bag with hold. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the temple, that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, says the Lord of hosts, because of my house that is in ruin, while every one of you run to his own house. Therefore the heavens above you withhold the dew, and the earth withholds its fruit. For I called for a drought on the land and the mountain, on the grain and the new wine and the oil, on whatever the ground brings forth, on men and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands. Send Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnants of his people, obey the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, that the Lord their God had sent them, and the people feared the presence of the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, in the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts their God. On the 24th day of the sixth month, in the second year of King Darius. The sin of putting off the Lord's work, or what is the priorities in our own life? In verse 1, we see the date and to whom this particular message is addressed. It's in the second year of King Darius. Now, it's interesting, as you read through Kings and Chronicles, it always says in the first year of King Ahaz, the first year from the 14th year of King Hezekiah, and so forth. Now we come to a point in history where there is no longer a king in Judah. And what the Lord Jesus would call the times of the Gentiles. The times of the Gentiles began with the Babylonian destruction and the last king of Judah being taken into captivity. And the times of the Gentiles will continue until the end of the tribulation period, when the Lord Jesus Christ, the rightful King of Israel, returned to this earth with his saints to establish his kingdom. And the times of the Gentiles will be no more. And so we have the mention of a Gentile king. And he is in control over the nation of Judah. And all the dating from now on, it's in respect to the Gentile kings. But the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month. The sixth month is about this time of year on the Hebrew calendar, August, beginning of September. And the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet, to Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying. Now, note who he's addressing. He's addressing the religious establishment and the political establishment, the leadership of Judah. Because if you want, and any remark, don't construe them with any political situation today, please. Anyway, if you want to get the people to change, you have to start at the top. Because it's the leadership that sets the example. Again, don't read anything. In the context of the church, it is the leadership that sets the example for the people. It's the old saying, monkey see, monkey do. You see, the leadership can say, yeah, we must be doing this, 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 and this. But unless the leadership is actually involved in doing this, this, and this, and this, the people won't follow. And so Haggai knows that. And so he must address the leadership. And he starts with the leadership. Zerubbabel, who's the governor, and Joshua, who is the high priest. The political and religious leaders of the day. And he says in verse 2, thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. And the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, it is time for you yourself to dwell. Is it time for you yourself to dwell in your paneled houses, and this temple lies in ruins? And he starts off with the excuse that the people use. Their excuse is, look, I got to build my house first. And I got to make sure there's nice panels are in the house. And I want to make sure my house is in order first before I worry about the Lord's house. Where are your priorities? And that's the issue that Haggai is going to bring up. What is the priority in your life? What is the priority in my life? Is it me, myself, and I? Or is my priority the Lord? And it's interesting, they should mention the paneled houses. In the excavations of the city of David, which is the limitation of the post-exilic city of Jerusalem, there have been very few houses that were discovered archaeologically, except for the foundations, and that's about it. But what is interesting, we know from the earlier period, from before the destruction by Nebuchadnezzar, that the Judeans did have paneled houses. And that's reflected in their burial caves. It's interesting, the burial caves are patterned after the houses. North of Damascus Gate, if you go to Jerusalem sometime on a tour, you'll see some very interesting tombs, or at least 14 tombs north of Damascus Gate, all dating to the 8th, 7th century BC, before the destruction by the Babylonian. And in the grounds of the École Biblique, the French School of Archaeology, which is just north of Damascus Gate, they have two of the largest tombs in Jerusalem. And one goes into these tombs, and on the walls, hewn right out of bedrock, you have these sunken panels. But probably in the tombs themselves, they put cedar panel. And that's a reflection of the houses. In the period before the destruction, they had these nice paneled houses. Cedars of Lebanon, hey, that smells great in the house. And when the people came back from captivity, they remembered what their houses were like before. Or what Grandpa's house was like before. And we want paneled houses too. And the fact that it mentions paneled houses indicates that these people had a little affluence. And God's saying, what about my house? What about my house? Where are your priorities? And so the people came up with the excuse that their house was more important than God's house. But remember the words of the Lord Jesus. He says, look, you can't serve God and mammon at the same time. Choose one or the other. Now verses 5 and 6. Haggai referred to the plight of the people. Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourself, but are not, no one is warm. You earned wages to put in a bag with hold. Haggai is going to say, hey, wait a minute. Look around you and see what's going on. Think for a minute. Maybe there's a cause and effect relationship here. You know, you're having problems in your personal life financially. Maybe there's a connection to your priority. And it's interesting what he brings up in verse 6 is the essentials of everyday life. What you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, and what you're going to wear. Those are the three things mentioned here in verse 6. You sow much, but bring in little. What you're going to eat. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you have not filled with drink. And clothe yourself, but no one is warm. You know, Jesus mentions the same thing in the Sermon on the Mount. He teaches his disciples how to pray, and he Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and so forth. And he gives an expanded commentary on that. And the commentary on give us this day our daily bread is now, do not be like the Gentiles. Do not be anxious about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, and what you're going to drink. And then he finishes that commentary, makes a statement in Matthew 6, but you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. You see, Jesus has the same message that Haggai has. You know, in your everyday life, the essentials of life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear. That's God's problem if you're seeking first the kingdom of God. And the same principle is here in Zechariah and Haggai. You have problems with the food you're going to eat, with the drink, and your clothes. Now, maybe the principle, you know, examine your life. Maybe your priorities aren't right. Because you're more concerned with your house than God's house. And so the principle is the same. You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So the plight of the people, verses 5 and 6. And then verses 7 to 11, he gives a reason for their problem. Yes, there is a cause and effect relationship. Because of one thing you do, God does another thing. Verse 7, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple, that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. So Haggai is going to focus their attention back to the work of the Lord, what they should have been doing all along. Get to work. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, says the Lord of hosts, because of my house that is in ruin, while every one of you run to his own house. And now Haggai makes the connection between the two. He says, look, you need to be getting back to work. But the good incentive is to understand why you're going through the situation you're going through. It's because you're concerned about your house and not God's house. Therefore, the heavens above you withhold the dew, and the earth withholds its fruit. For I call for a drought on the land and the mountains, on the grain and the new wine and the oil, on whatever the ground brings forth, on the men, livestock, and all the labors of your hand. In verses 10 and 11, Haggai goes back to the book of Deuteronomy. Now, last year when I was here on Tuesday night Bible study, we were in chapter 34, 35 of Isaiah. I understand we're in chapter 61 now. There's a little progress there. I say that because on Tuesday night at Valley Bible Chapel, where I attend, we're going through the book of Deuteronomy. And we're slowly, slowly going through the book of Deuteronomy. But Deuteronomy is a foundational book for understanding the prophets of Israel. They give nothing new to the people. Everything they say is based on what is in the book of Deuteronomy, as far as the people are concerned, their relationship with the Lord. And you go back and look in verse 10 and 11, and then go back and look at Deuteronomy. There's a cause and effect relationship. He says, you wonder why your grain is in big trouble? It's because you're not following the Lord. Deuteronomy says, if you're obedient to my word, then I will send the rains in its season. But if you're disobedient to my word, I will withhold the rain and the dews and so forth, or send the rains in the wrong time. And that was the situation here. Notice in verse 11, he says, the grain, the new wine, and the oil. All through the Old Testament, the essentials of life, the essential for food is grain, oil, and wine. The wheat and barley, the olive oil, and the fruit of the vine. Those are the essentials of life. And so the whole priority comes down to who are you serving? Yourself or God? And if you're serving yourself, there's going to be problem. And if you're serving the Lord, don't worry about the grain, oil, and wine. Don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, what you're going to drink. Because if you're seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added to you. And so he gives the reason for their problem in verses 7 to 11. Verses 12 to the end of the chapter, we see the response of the people. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. Now there's nothing more that can thrill a preacher to see people or hear of people who responded positively to the message of the Word of God and taken action. And Haggai and Zechariah, who is his younger disciple probably, are looking around and say, hey, great, the people are building the house of the Lord again. And the word of Haggai the prophet is the Lord their God has sent him. And the people fear the presence of the Lord. Verse 13, then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. And so the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnants of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month, in the second year of King Darius. Haggai was probably doing cartwheel to see the people up there in the temple working on the house of the Lord. It's going to take them 4 years to finish it, but they're going to see the work completed. And Haggai is there with them, handing them bricks, helping build the house of the Lord. How do we look at this from a New Testament perspective? Take a look at Ephesians chapter 2. Paul has the same idea, and he looks at the church in various ways. He uses various metaphors for the church, but one of the metaphors he uses is that of a temple in Ephesians chapter 2. And it's interesting to see how he uses it. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a habitation of the God in the Spirit. And so Paul uses this illustration, this metaphor of a temple as well. And he has seen the temple that Herod had built in Jerusalem. He knew of the temple of Zerubbabel. He knew of the temple of Solomon. He had read about them in the Word of God. And he says the church is like the temple too. Each one of us, Peter will use the expression, are living stone, built one on top of the other. And who's involved in building the temple of God? It is us. Going out, leading people to the Lord, one by one. And when a person comes to faith, the metaphor that Paul uses here is that person is a stone too, being built together. And so the question comes back, what is our priority? Are we building the church of God or not? And the way we build today is one stone at a time. Sharing the gospel, and that person being added to the body of Christ. And the metaphor that Paul uses, a holy temple in the Lord. So what is our priorities in life? Is it living for ourselves? Or is it living for the Lord? And the message of Haggai is, we need to be living for the Lord. The message of Jesus is, you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The message of Paul, we need to be building the body of Christ, the church. Let's pray. Again, our Father, we do thank you for your great love toward us. And we thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the chief cornerstone and the foundation of the church. And Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to be a builder of that church, as we seek to win men and women to your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But Father, we also think of the admonition and the warnings. We look around our own lives and see that things aren't right. We should be looking at our own priorities in life and seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, knowing that You will add the essentials of life. Father, we commit this week before You, before us, into Your hands. We ask that we might bring honor and glory to Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might seek to win those around us to the Lord Jesus, but also to build up and encourage one another in our faith. Father, again, we thank You for this day, the opportunity which has been ours this morning to open Your Word and to proclaim the truth of Your Word. Father, we might take this and apply it to our own lives. We ask this all in the name of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.